Lesson 33, Section 1, News. News Item 1.
Marissa?
Actress Virginia Darlington, who plays Judy in the TV soap opera Texas, got married yesterday, surrounded by armed bodyguards at the most luxurious hotel in Texas, the Mansion. The 39-year-old star exchanged vows with plastic surgeon Henry Jones under a bough of ivy and gardenias, wearing a wedding dress designed by Britain's founders. Because this is the second time she has married, a flautist marked the celebrations by playing Love is Wonderful the second time around.
News Item 2.
The Football Association Secretary, Mr. John Garner, says he's delighted with the decision to lift the worldwide ban on English soccer clubs. As a result of serious incidents of hooliganism in European and international matches, football's international ruling body, FIFA, decided last June that English teams should not be allowed to play outside Britain. FIFA announced its new decision to lift the worldwide ban this morning. But the ban on European matches still stands. Now, the Football Association Secretary says it's up to the English fans to improve themselves. And if they do behave, the ban could be lifted in as short a time as 12 months.
News Item 3.
A group of 12 women are working hard to become the first all-female crew to sail around the world. At the moment, the crew are busy trying to raise the £350,000 needed to buy and equip the 62-foot yacht to make the record attempt. As part of their fundraising, the crew have been repainting the famous boat Gypsy Moth 4 on show at Greenwich, which has raised £1,250 from the British Yachting Association. The crew are also busy training to get shipshape for their round-the-world sailing race, which starts in September. The crew skipper says she doesn't think the fact the crew are all women will lessen their chances of winning.
Section 2. A. Eskimos.
Well, it's got two big wheels, one behind the other. And there's a kind of metal frame between the wheels that holds them together. And there's a little seat above the back wheel that you can sit on. And above the front wheel, there's a sort of metal bar that sticks out on both sides. And you sit on the seat, you see, and you put your hands on this metal bar thing, and the whole thing moves forwards. It's amazing.
What makes it move forward, then?
Ah, well, in the middle, you see, between the two wheels, there are these other bits of metal. And you can put your feet on these and turn them round. And that makes the wheels go round.
Hang on. If it's only got two wheels, why doesn't the whole thing fall over?
Well, you see... Well, I'm not sure, actually.
B. Shoplifting.
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure what I would have done. I mean, it would have depended on various things.
On what, for instance?
Well, on how valuable the things the boys stole were.
Mm-hmm.
The text doesn't it doesn't say whether they'd just stolen a tin of peas or something like that. So, why, I can't really say. Except, well, I think I would have told the shopkeeper if they'd stolen something really valuable. Otherwise, I suppose I would have just, minded my own business, I suppose.
Well, I think it's quite clear what I should have done. Well, the boys have broken the law. You can't allow that sort of thing to go on, can you? After all, it affects all of us. If you let boys or anybody else get away with theft, they'll just go on stealing. So, I think the woman should have told what's his name? The shopkeeper.
Mr. Patel.
Patel. She should have told him. And if necessary, she should have held the boys while he got the police. Or she should have gone for the police herself.
So you're saying that that's what you would have done?
Exactly. If I had been in that situation, That's exactly what I would have done. At least that's what I ought to have done. That's what I hope I would have done.
C. Frogs.
A funny thing happened to me the other night.
Oh, yeah? What happened, Fred?
Well, you know, I usually go out for a walk every night just after dark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was out the other night taking my usual walk. I heard a funny noise coming out of the building site down the road. You know, the one where they dug a big hole lately. Going to make it into an underground garage, I believe.
Yeah, I know it, go on.
Well, as I said, I heard this funny noise, and I thought perhaps there was a kid down there. You know how kids go playing on building sites. But as I got nearer, I could tell it wasn't a kid. It sounded more like an animal.
Ooh.
I thought it must be some dog or cat that had got itself trapped or something.
So what did you do?
Well, I went down there to investigate. I climbed down, ruined my trousers because of all the mud. You see, it had been raining heavily for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, when I got down there, I found the hole was full of water, and the water was full of frogs.
Frogs?
Yes, you know, those green things that jump up and down and croak, croak, croak. So I thought, what are they going to do when the bulldozers come to work tomorrow? So I climbed back out, went home and got some plastic bags, big ones, like you use for the rubbish. I tell you, I went back and started collecting the frogs and putting them into the plastic bags. I thought I'd take them to the pond in the park. They'd be happy there.
I suppose they would.
Next thing I know, there are sirens screaming and bright lights everywhere.
What was going on then?
It was the police. 2 cars full of police with flashlights and dogs. Somebody had reported seeing me going into the building site and thought I was a burglar.
Well, what happened?
They put me in one of the cars and took me down to the station.
Why didn't you tell them what you were doing?
I tried to in the car, but they just told me I would have to talk to the inspector on duty. Luckily, I still had one of the bags on me full of frogs. A couple of them got out while the inspector was questioning me, and you can imagine what it was like trying to catch them.
So what happened in the end?
Well, the inspector turned out to be a bit of an animal lover himself. And he sent the 2 cars back to the building site and told his men to help me collect all the frogs. We did that, and then they drove me home, and I invited them all in for a cup of tea, and we all had a good laugh.
Well, I never. If you wrote that in a book, they'd say you made it up.
D. Newspaper editors.
A newspaper has a complex hierarchy. The easiest way to show this is in the form of a chart. At the top of the chart, there are 4 major positions. These are the executive editor, who talks to the unions and deals with legal and financial questions. Then there is the actual editor of the paper and his deputy. The editor makes decisions about what goes into the paper. The deputy has close contact with the House of Commons and the political content. Finally, there is a managing editor, who sees that everything runs smoothly. Below this, there are 3 assistant editors and the heads of the 5 departments. Each of the 3 assistant editors has a different responsibility. For example, one is responsible for design. The 5 departments are City News, which deals with financial matters, then Home, Foreign, Sports and Features. Features are the special sections including films, books, and the women's page. So, on the second level, there are 3 assistant editors and the 5 department heads. Also on this level is the night editor. He looks after the paper, especially the front page, in the afternoon and evening, preparing material for publication the next morning. Below the second level, there are the reporters and specialists, who write the reports and articles, and the sub-editors, who check and prepare the copy for the printer. There is also full secretarial backup.
Section 3. A. A tour of the airport.
This lift is taking us 2 departures on the first floor.
Thank you.
Incorporated, as you've seen. Just to the left here, we find a 24-hour banking service and one of three sky shops on this floor. There are two in the departure lounge. And here, as you can see, you can buy newspapers, magazines, confectionery, souvenirs, and books. If you will turn around now and look in front of you, you can see the 72 check-in desks, 64 of which are for British Airways. The airline desks for inquiries are next to the entrances on the far left and far right. And straight ahead is the entrance to the departure lounge and passport control. Shall we go airside? We have now cleared passport control and security. And you can see that security is very tight indeed. You are about to enter a departure lounge, which is a quarter of a mile in length. But don't worry. There are moving walkways the length of the building, so you don't have to put on your hiking boots. Straight ahead of you is a painting by Brendan Leland. As you can see, it's a painting of Terminal 4, and it measures 20 feet by 8 feet. On the other side of it are the airline information desks. Let's walk around to those. Now, if you face the windows, you can see the duty-free shops. There's one on your left and one on your right. They have been decorated to a very high standard to make you feel like you're shopping in London's most exclusive shops. The duty-free shops sell the usual things, but they also have outlets for fine wines and quality cigars. If we turn to the right and walk along in front of the duty-free shops, we'll come to a buffet and bar opposite. You see, this one is called the Fourth Man Inn. All the bars, restaurants and cafeterias have names including the number four, and many of them have jokey signboards like this one to brighten up the traveller's day. If we turn left out of here and go back along the concourse, we come to the Plan Ahead insurance desk on the far side of the first duty-free shop with public telephones alongside. Notice that here we can see what's going on outside through the windows. Opposite the insurance desk, next to the other duty-free shop, is the International Telephone Bureau. Let's just go across there. Across from this duty-free shop is an area just like the one we have just seen, with a buffet, bar and sky shops. And now, let's go along the moving walkway to the gates, shall we?
B. Lost handbag.
Excuse me.
Yes, madam.
Can you help me? Please look, I'm desperate. Are you responsible for lost property?
Yes, I am.
Well, I've got something to report.
What is it you lost?
I've lost my handbag.
Your handbag?
Well, it's terrible. I don't know what to do.
Where did you lose your handbag, madam?
On the train. On the train. Look, we've got to stop the train.
Which train?
I've just come off the tube. This last train in from Paddington.
Yes, the last train tonight. No, there's another one.
On the Circle Line, on the Circle Line.
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's terrible. We haven't got much time. I mean, I've got so many valuable things in my bag.
Will you please explain?
I was asleep on the train. I must have dropped off. I woke up, almost missed my station, so I rushed off the train, and then I realized my handbag was still on.
Yes.
By that time, the doors were shut, and it was too late.
So your handbag's still on the train?
It's on the train travelling here.
Yes, all right. Just a moment. Now, can I have your name and address?
Well, look, the thing I've got to tell you is that there's money in that handbag.
Yes, we realise this, madam. We need your name and address first.
Okay. My name's Mary Jones.
Mary Jones. Address?
16 Craven Road.
Craven Road. That's C-R-A-V-E-N.
Yes.
Now, can you tell me exactly what was in the handbag?
Well, there was money.
Money? How much?
Nearly £30. I had my driving license.
£30? Driving license, yes.
I had my keys. And I had the office keys. They'll kill me when I go to work tomorrow. And I'd just been to the travel agent. I had my ticket to Athens.
Just one moment. House and office keys, ticket to Athens.
Yes, hurry, please. You've got to phone the next
yes,
person.
Yes, just a moment. Anything else?
I have my season ticket.
Your season ticket for travelling on the tube.
And the very expensive bottle of perfume.
Yes,
and
I'll have the card.
And I'll have
the train when it arrives.
Can I bring you?